Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy Friday, wherever you might be across America. I hope you're doing good today. Wow, a lot going on. And we're going to try to get to all the big stories of the day. One of them involving our friends over at Young America's Foundation, and it's an insane story. I do want to share with you some new information. We've been following this controversy surrounding Walt Disney World, and last night I was on Newsmax, and I was sharing some thoughts about really where Disney is now and where they are going. And I am telling you, they are on a slippery slope, and the Magic Kingdom is not the Magic Kingdom of your childhood. And it's about to get really weird over there at Disney World and Disneyland. So the latest information we're getting, and by the way, huge protest at Disney HQ out in California this week. The latest, Bob Chapek, who is the chief executive officer of Disney, so he is now pledging his allegiance to the LGBT movement, and he is pledging to become a fierce ally of the gay rights movement, and whatever that agenda is. I have no idea what that agenda is, but they've got an agenda. Everybody's got an agenda. He promised to make sweeping changes, and he delegated the company's moral authority to Disney's LGBTQIA plus advisory committee. That's the actual official name of the committee, the LGBTQIA plus advisory committee. In essence, every Disney program, every Disney storybook, and every amusement park ride will be configured in some way to embrace and promote an extreme, and there's really no other way to describe it. I mean, it's an extreme sex agenda. Now, we have some audio here, and this is also new. And again, just to keep you updated on what's happening over at Disney World, one of the Disney executives says that we're going to include and we're going to educate kids about every aspect. So again, we're going to play the audio and then I'll come back and make a point here. This is a Disney executive.
Yeah, I identify as like a biromantic asexual. I've had a lot of learning and growing about myself this year, kind of facilitated by how comfortable I felt on the Proud Family and with my immediate team at Disney TVA. And so it's just sort of like this creative dissonance between my personal experience where I feel so safe and so supported. I mean, like, I wasn't like in the closet, but like, I'm real out now, but like, outside of my team, outside of TVA, it's just, it feels like the things that we believe that we're trying to put into the shows are not what we're seeing in the real world. And yeah, it leaves you in a weird space. I'm still thinking, like, I want to use my content to like go deeper, like talk about how non-monolithic the LGBTQ plus community as an asexual. Like, it's just like, I feel like a lot of people don't know what that is. I have to like have a dissertation ready at any given time. I want to like add the pockets of the LGBTQ community that you don't see.
All right. So again, this is a Disney executive, and it's pretty clear exactly the plan here. And so they're not, look, I respect Disney for at least getting it out there and admitting to us what they're going to do. So if you want your kid to watch Disney or Disney Plus or whatever other channels they have out there, if you want them to watch the cartoons or read the Disney storybooks about Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse and Goofy and whoever else, Donald Duck, all those folks. If you want to take your kid to an amusement park, this is what you can expect. Disney is no longer hiding it. So Disney is now really coming out of their closet to say, you know what? This is who we're going to be. We are going to be an LGBT affirming, an LGBT ally organization now. And I suppose if you don't like it, you don't have to go to Disney events. You don't have to subscribe to Disney channels or apps. You don't have to do any of that. But you are going to see a change. And my question is, and the Wall Street Journal wrote about this in their opinion section, has Disney crossed a line with customers? Now, and it's no secret that Disney went woke a while back. And look, it's their company. They pay the bills. I'm not forced to support Disney. That's, you know, if they're going to survive without me. But my question is, and it's the question the Wall Street Journal raises, has Disney crossed a line here? When you take your child, and maybe this is for you families and grandmas and grandpas, when you take a road trip and you're taking the grandkids down to Disney World, why are the grandkids wanting to go to Disney World? Are they wanting to go to, and this is a genuine question, because Disney is now telling us that the reason why children want to watch Disney and the reason why children want to go to Disney World is because they want to embrace this new sex revolution, this sexual revolution. That's what this is really all about now. And you just heard it from the Disney executive. They want to educate children about the pockets of the gay community that you don't see. That is a direct quote from the Disney executive. And again, this is their right as an American company. They have a right to do that. If they want to produce, I don't know, a new music video, zippity-doo-dah, zippity-a, Mickey Mouse says it's okay to be gay, that's their right as a company. If they want to produce a cartoon about a two-spirit transsexual princess who is living with a bunch of gender-fluid, intersex, androgynous dwarfs, that's their right. They have a right to do that. But I wonder, and it's just like, in a way, this is just like the Facebook and the Twitter controversies, where you have the conservatives and you have Christians, and they're out there saying, I'm no longer going to be on Facebook. I'm no longer going to be on Twitter. And yet they're making those pronouncements on Facebook and Twitter. And in reality, yes, they may join another social media platform, but they are still active on the platforms that they said they were going to abandon and boycott. Now, you could call that hypocrisy. I just think that some of these things are so ingrained in our society now that you can't stop checking out Facebook. You can't stop tweeting. And if you're a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa, you're not going to stop going to Disney. So maybe this whole thing is a moot point. Maybe this is just a moot argument, because I don't see people standing up, and look, yeah, there are a couple of hundred people protesting outside Disney. Okay, big whoop. That's not going to change anything. So maybe, just maybe, this is the way things are going to be. And you say, well, Tony, you're surrendering. There's really nothing to surrender. Again, this is Disney. They're their own company. I don't control them. I don't tell them what to do. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. What is it they said, Disney? What is it, happiest place on earth? Is that what they call it? Yeah, I think that's what they call it. Disney is the happiest place on earth. I don't know. To me, kind of looks like the creepiest place on earth. But that's just me. And again, let me put it this way. If Disney was being marketed for adults, for teenagers, all right, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But kids? I mean, do we really want to, I mean, really kids? Like children? Like four-year-olds? I mean, is that really? But clearly, when you look at all of the hate coming from the left, how dare you, conservatives, how dare you stop us from teaching a four-year-old, a kindergartner, a preschooler about lessons in sex. And I bring this up, and we're just kind of starting off with this because everybody's talking about the Disney story, but it goes far beyond that. They're actually promoting, in some New Jersey schools, they're promoting pornography for students. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, they're showing the children buck naked scenes. No, they're actually telling children in New Jersey that it is okay, it's normal to watch pornography. This is happening in a public school, ladies and gentlemen.
Is it normal to watch porn?
Hashtag Ask Amaze!
Yes, it's normal. Lots of people watch porn. After all, it's right there and it's free. And anyway, many people are curious about this sex stuff. But, and it's a big but, remember, porn is not real. It's just a fantasy, like superheroes movies. Bodies don't look like those in porn movies. In general, everything is exaggerated. And sex, it often looks very different in real life. So don't expect your own body or sex life once you have one to look anything like what you see in porn. Or to sound like it either.
All right. There you go. All right, kids. What'd you learn in school today?
Mommy, let's go down to the liquor store and get some porn. It's normal, Mommy. That's what my teacher told me. It's normal. Can I get mine in one of those brown paper wrappers, Mommy?
Unbelievable. This is what they're teaching the kids in public school. So, I mean, if you want to... And by the way, here's what gets me. Now, here's what's going to happen. Somebody's listening to us, and maybe they don't have a problem with what's happening down at Disney. Maybe they're okay with the change in values at Disney. Or maybe it's not so much a change as the affirmation and the acknowledgement of the change in values at Disney. They're okay with that, all right? Because their line in the sand is somewhere beyond that, all right? But those same people would have a problem. Well, I just cannot believe they're teaching the children porn. That's just inappropriate. Oh, really? Says who? Says you? You get to make that decision? So we're instilling your values. We're making decisions based on your definition of morality. And again, I'm just playing the devil's advocate here. But I mean, you can't make this stuff up. This is what happens when there is no absolute truth. Everything goes out the window. All right. You know what? Let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Jamie is listening to us on WLOB. That's Ray Richardson country. Hey, Jamie, what's going on?
Well, not too much. I heard you say that Disney has a right to do what they want to do as a company.
That is correct.
Theory. I feel that they have an obligation to uphold the standards that Walt Disney laid forth before he passed. As to what he wanted his company to do in the going forward without him. And they have that on record somewhere. It's just they're ignoring it.
Well, and that's because they don't have to. I mean, the family no longer controls the company. So, I mean, Disney's long gone and dead. And quite frankly, I have to imagine Walt Disney would be turning over in his grave with what they've done to his company.
Oh, yeah, completely. I still adhere to, I love Walt Disney, the man, like, so, and I love him so much, and what he wanted to create, that I'm having a hard time disconnecting.
It's tough, and you know, every person that has grown up with Disney, and I remember, Jamie, you might remember this, growing up as a child, every Sunday evening, you know, you had the Magic Kingdom and Tinker Bell, and then you got to see Walt there in the office. I mean, that was a part of our childhood growing up.
That was, I'm not my childhood. However, I did, like, my grandmother always had that stuff recorded, so I got to watch it second or third hand because, I don't know, he was still always Uncle Walt to me, even though I wasn't there. I did not get to live on the earth at the same time as him ever. But... yeah, I don't know. It's so hard for me because I know what he wanted for the company, what he saw going forward for the future, And it's just so frustrating that he doesn't have people at the helm that have the same vision.
Yeah, it has certainly changed, that's for sure. Jamie, got to run. Appreciate the call, though. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. Our website is toddstearns.com. That's toddstearns.com. We'll be right back. With the political pressure of the left and the woke mob that is the Democrat Party, our society has ultimately become controlled by the cancel culture elites. Since when have the founders of our Constitution, the American flag, Dr. Seuss, and many other things become anti-American? There's never been a better time in our nation's history to stand up against the woke mob and fight back. And you can do that with this exclusive offer I'm giving to my listeners for a limited time only. Now is your chance to win a signed photo by President Trump himself. That's right, not only will you be taking a stand against the radical left, you'll be entering to win a piece of history. All you have to do is text the word photo to 55404 today to enter. That's photo to 55404. Join me in standing up for President Trump and canceling the radical left once and for all. Paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee. Well, terrible story out of Ukraine, where the Russians launched a missile strike on a train station, and there were thousands of people there. And they're saying it's just a horrible thing. I mean, look, why have we not given these people the tools they have been asking for? You know, we see this every night on the news, and you've got all these people yelling and screaming, and we've got to help the Ukrainians, the Biden administration, we've got to help the Ukrainians. Nobody's helping the Ukrainians. Why are we not sending them the tools they need to fight the Russians? And I don't want to get into because Russia, by the way, actually admits now to the missile strike. Because now if you don't believe everything coming out of Ukraine, you know, you're a horrible human being. Okay, well, let's just believe everything that's coming out of Ukraine for just a moment here for the sake of this argument. And let's just, for the sake of our argument, agree that every report of Russian atrocities is true. Then we are watching a genocide. Now, what happens at the end of the day if we find out that 6 or 7 or 8 million people were literally destroyed by the Russians and everybody else stood by and did nothing? What does that say about our government? What does that say about us? But again, we don't know what to believe because there's propaganda coming out of Ukraine. There's propaganda coming out of Russia. And the American reporters are not interested in sifting through all of that to figure out what is true and what is not. And so now we're all just left with, okay, who do you believe? But on this, we can believe it because both sides are now admitting what they have done. And it is not going to be a pretty picture. It's a horrible story, just a horrible, horrible story. All right, coming up, we've got just a disgusting incident that happened last night at the University of Buffalo, where conservative students were holding a gathering. Alan West, our good friend Alan West, you've heard him on this program. He was giving a speech on the greatness of America, sponsored by the Young Americas Foundation. And a mob of about 200 Black Lives Matter protesters, they descended upon the gathering, and they assaulted, they punched and kicked conservative kids. They chased a female conservative leader across the campus. And the police had to rush Alan West out of the room. I mean, it was, I don't know what they would have done. They may have tried to kill the guy. We're going to be talking to one of the student leaders at the University of Buffalo over what happened last night. And I'm telling you, folks, there's a reason we have the Second Amendment. And that's it. I got to take a break. We'll be right back, America.
Friends, since November of last year, the stock market has plummeted, but gold has been on the rise. Gas prices are insane. The stock market extremely volatile. Inflation is even worse than it was last year. And now we have a war with Russia and Ukraine that could spread to the rest of the world. The markets do not like instability. The good news, you have options. Gold prices are rising as investors turn to gold for protection. Gold provides a hedge against inflation and protects against a weakening dollar. Legacy Precious Metals is the only company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You need an investment that will protect your wealth and retirement. Be proactive while there's still time. Remember 2008? Those invested in gold saw huge gains while others lost their retirements. Legacy Precious Metals can advise you on all of your options for investing in gold and silver. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals, 866-528-1903, or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com.
Oh, actually, I'm white. Sorry, I just kind of got caught up in the moment there. My apologies, everybody. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us. That's what it sounded last night at the University of Buffalo. Alan West was on campus giving a speech, part of the YAF speaking tour, and there were several hundred people in that mob. The mob turned violent. At least one student was kicked and punched. We understand, and we've got the video on our website. I mean, it is irrefutable. You can actually see the mob trying to shut down someone who was videotaping all the evidence. Alan West had to be escorted out. He was by police. And then the leader of the YAF chapter was chased on campus in the dark of night, and she had to find refuge from this rampaging mob chanting, "I'm black and I'm proud." Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line because we're honored to have with us that YAF student leader, Therese Purcell. Therese, good to have you with us today, and I have to imagine that was a terrifying experience last night.
Hi, Todd. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I super appreciate it. Overall, it was a great event until after the protesters had been going all day, and then after they confronted us and hunted me throughout campus, which was a scary experience, like you said.
Yeah, let's talk about what happened here. You guys had invited Alan West to speak. What was the topic? What was he talking about?
Yeah, so we had invited Colonel Alan West to speak on campus. He was talking on race and American exceptionalism. The topic of the speech was America is not racist, why American values are exceptional, which really shouldn't be controversial on an American campus, right, that American values are exceptional and should be preserved. But the leftists on campus freaked out and organized a protest starting at 2 p.m., which went throughout campus. I heard from people throughout the day, and I was there watching the protest. You could just hear them screaming throughout our campus. It interrupted classes. It was quite the crazy event. They were trying to tell me that I was silencing black voices as I was bringing a black gentleman to campus to talk about these issues.
Therese, they are aware that Alan West is, in fact, a black man.
Right. Yeah, the hypocrisy there was really crazy, since their whole thing was that our club was racist and that we were trying to silence minorities and black voices, which is fundamentally not true, as we were bringing someone who had been in the military for 20 years. He served in U.S. Congress, and he was black and was willing to talk on these issues and how he overcame some of the racist policies of the South and how American values are exceptional. But they weren't interested in actually hearing what he had to say. Instead, they just wanted to protest and make a scene and threaten our YAF members.
So let's talk about what happened. The mob descended upon the area where you guys were holding the speech, and we understand that that one of the students was assaulted. What happened?
So what happened was the event was very, very popular on campus. We had a long standby line. We had hundreds of people who weren't even able to get in since it was so popular. So after the event, there were, I'd guesstimate maybe like 200 students just surrounding the room we were having our private meet and greet in. They were banging on the walls and screaming really loudly. Then the police escorted Alan West out, and we were trying to stay close to the police. But we quickly were lost in all the protesters as they were trying to confront me, as I believe I was one of their targets. We were assuming West could be one of their targets. We were trying to get him safely with the police officers off campus. And then I turned to walk away from the protesters since I didn't feel safe being surrounded by hundreds of students who were screaming at me and clearly hated me. And then as soon as I tried to walk to just get peacefully back to my car, many of them started screaming, like, she's leaving, follow her, follow her. And then this mob of about 200 students started running after me and chasing me. I ran into a building and they were all like very close to me, just like a second behind me. And one of my friends pulled me into one of the men's bathrooms and we hid in there, and they were there like 1 second later just screaming like, where is she? Where is she? Where is she? So it was quite the scary experience. We called 911 and they eventually got there, but you could just hear the students screaming, trying to find me. And one of our other e-board members, our treasurer, was actually the one who was assaulted by them. He was trying to just get safely off campus back to his car and to try to help other members get to their car. And these leftists were just accosting him and ended up kicking him and punching him. It was really, really unfortunate.
How is that young man?
He's very sore today from getting kicked by leftists, but thankfully no one's seriously injured. We're thankful for that. But
did he fight back? Because I guarantee, typically these liberals, you know, they're cowards. And normally, I mean, if they kick you and punch you, if you punch them back, they usually drop to the ground right away. They can't take a punch.
At that point, the police stepped in and interfered. There wasn't police presence with me when I was being hunted down on campus. That's why I had to try to sneak in a bathroom to hide from these people who were trying to hunt me down.
What do you think they were going to do to you? Hold on. What do you think they were going to do? I mean, if they had gotten a hold of you, I mean, they could have done the same thing to you.
Right. It was very scary. Like, I know a lot of us who are running from them were really afraid for our lives because we didn't know what they were going to do. It sounded like it could turn to violence, as they obviously were punching and kicking one of our YAF members, and they were screaming so loudly, and you could just sense, like, the anger in their voices. And it was just scary to have, you know, 200 people running after you,
yes,
chasing you and screaming for others to come chase me.
Therese Purcell is on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Now, I've seen the video. We have it on our website, and it is terrifying. It's not very well lit on the campus, but you can see the mob literally chasing after you, shouting, you know, the things you just said. There she is, and they're after you. Then there's another video where someone is trying to film, and it looks like they accosted that person as well.
Yes, that was the other issue here, is they really weren't for freedom of thought, diversity of thought, freedom of speech. So some of us were trying to record this to record what was going on, since, you know, they were accosting our members, harassing our members, and they were trying to grab her phone, steal her phone. So it was really sad that they weren't even allowing us to have our freedom of speech, since they felt the need to protest it, that this very distinguished colonel in the Army couldn't come to campus. And then after their protest, they were trying to accost us just for recording it and taking pictures.
I want to ask about the university. Have you heard from any university leaders today, any campus police?
We have not. We have heard from campus police. Campus police just followed up with us just before this interview. But the disappointing part is we have heard from zero representatives of the university other than the police. We have heard from zero campus administrators. You'd think after students were being followed by an angry mob and being hunted down on campus, and after a student was assaulted and kicked by students, that they would have reached out to make sure that we were safe. But we have had no response from them.
Well, we haven't either, Therese. I reached out personally to the university, their media relations department, which is standard practice, and they haven't responded to our questions either. So you know what we're going to do here, folks? We believe that your voice matters. And so if you go to our live show blog over at toddstearns.com, the headline, Black Lives Matter Mob Attacks Conservative Students, you will see the email address and the contact information for the University of Buffalo. And we want you, over the next little while, to call them, to email them. And if they respond, we want you to let us know. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I have listed on my live show blog the email addresses and the phone numbers and cell phone numbers of the university leadership. So if they're not going to talk to Young America's Foundation, if they're not going to talk to us, perhaps they just might talk to you, the great listeners of this program. Therese, we are so glad you're okay. And we're going to try to get to the bottom of this. This cannot allow to happen again. It just cannot be allowed to happen. And I will tell you this. Had the roles been reversed here, had YAF been the aggressors, this would have been a national news story.
Exactly. We feel the same way. And thank you for reaching out to the university. We greatly appreciate that. And our Young Americans for Freedom chapter is not going to back down. The left is using these tactics to try to scare us, to try to bully us. But we're going to keep being activists on campus and trying to spread freedom.
Good for you. Good for you. All right, Therese, we're going to have to leave it there. God bless you. That's Therese Purcell. She is the president of the Young America's Foundation chapter, the YAF chapter, on campus at the University of Buffalo. These videos are just, if I was a kid, and just imagine yourself 18, 19 years old, you're being chased in the dark of night by a mob. The only thing they didn't have were the tiki torches. I mean, this Black Lives Matter mob, well, I mean, this is unbelievable. And trust me, if the roles had been reversed here, if this was conservatives chasing down liberal students, they would be broadcasting from the campus of the University of Buffalo right now. But I want you to go to the website. I actually sent over to Grace the actual, you know, who to contact. All that information is right there for you. And I want you to call us. After you call them, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products. Everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use the promo code Starnes or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code Starnes.
He's one of America's most controversial billionaires, George Soros. All across America, Soros is funding far-left district attorneys for office. And by the way, once elected, these district attorneys, they're the ones who oppose bail. They want early release for criminals and in some cases won't even prosecute felony offenders. It's no wonder crime is spiking in major cities and police are under fire. Our good friend Rob Schmidt is taking a look at that. He's investigating that on Newsmax. You can tune in to Newsmax. Watch Rob Schmidt tonight, 10 o'clock Eastern. Find out the real truth about George Soros and the dangerous district attorneys endangering our cities. By the way, you can find Newsmax on every major cable system. You can also watch it free on your smart TV, smartphone. Millions are tuning into Newsmax because it is real news that you can trust. And, you know, this, it's interesting, this Soros story is, if we were not in the middle of a dumpster fire in the country right now, this would be the story that everybody's talking about. Because Soros has basically declared war on law and order. The report is that he is now, this is from Breitbart News, Soros is funding 13 radical Democrats running for Congress in 2022. By the way, a February poll shows 75% of American voters believe defunding the police contributes to soaring crime rates. Do you agree with that? In October, only 15% supported defunding police, down from 25% in 2020. And the reality here is that all of us have been subjected to this crime wave. I mean, it's hitting everybody. And especially here in Memphis, Tennessee, those of you who listen to our flagship station, KWAM, you know just how bad it is. Here's how bad it, you want to know how bad the crime here is in Memphis, Tennessee? The police chief somebody broke into her car and stole her gun. That's how crazy it is. Just the other day, somebody broke into her house. She's building a brand new house. And the police chief, they broke into the police chief's house in Memphis, Tennessee. It's unbelievable. And now you've got her opponent, who's one of these, he's one of these Soros guys. His name is, what is that guy's name? Mulroy. That's his name. Steve Mulroy. He's a law professor at the Radical University of Memphis. So the other day, this is how they're going to do it, folks. This is the template for how Soros is going to take over more DA offices. So Mulroy is accusing the current DA, Amy Weirich, of basically being a racist. Weirich is white. She is the only Republican. She is the highest elected Republican in the entire city of 1.3, 1.4 million people. And one of very few white people in leadership in the city. And it's because it's a majority-minority city. There you go. So anyway, Mulroy is accusing her of lacking diversity in her office. That's code for she's a racist. But here's the great irony. Steve Mulroy is, in fact, a white man. And he's running against three females. So it's ironic that this guy, a white guy, is throwing his name into the hat to run for DA when he, in fact, is white. Who is he to run against a black person? That sounds like privilege to me. I mean, if we're going to go down that path. So anyway, this Mulroy guy held a press conference this week, and he's blasting the district attorney, who, by the way, is a great person, Amy Weirich. She is tough on crime, and that's why the Democrats can't stand her. They actually targeted this woman's home. One of the vicious, most vile, heinous racist on the county commission. And they targeted the woman's home, her children. It was horrifying. They were shooting fireworks at her house. I mean, it was, I don't know, they were trying to burn down the house. I don't know what was going on. So anyway, they're all upset because they say she is prosecuting too many black criminals. Well, I hate to break it to everybody, but if you're in a majority-minority city, there's a pretty good chance that most of the crime, or a good percentage of the crime, is going to be committed by the majority population. But what they ought to be doing is looking at it like this. Because while, yes, here in Memphis, most of the crime, an overwhelming amount of the crime, is committed by the black, by black young men, at the same time, most of the victims are, in fact, black people as well. So what Amy Weirich is doing, she's getting justice for hundreds, if not thousands, of black victims of crime. But they don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about it. They're trying to make this a race issue, and it's really not a race issue, other than the fact that Amy Weirich is a white woman in a majority-minority city. And I hope that she wins re-election for the sake of our safety. Memphis, Tennessee, because it has been controlled by Democrats for, what, 50 years at least, 50, 60 years, the Democrats have had a stranglehold on Memphis, Tennessee. And they have turned this beautiful, kind, compassionate, fun city into a war zone. It doesn't have to be like this. It really doesn't. But that's what George Soros is doing. And he's going to be doing it here in Memphis, Tennessee. It's shocking that Soros would be concerned about what's happening here in Memphis, Tennessee. We're not Los Angeles. We're not Atlanta. We're not New York City or Chicago. But it doesn't matter, because Soros knows that if he's really going to impact the country, he's got to get into the heartland. And that's why he's doing what he's doing. You better pay attention to your DA races. Those are vitally important, because they are going to try and put these radical leftist district attorneys, like this guy Steve Mulroy, who clearly has a problem with women. That's why he's running. He's a white guy, and his opponents, I know several of them, happen to be minorities. So does he have a problem with women? Does he have a problem with people of color? Maybe he has a problem with both. Steve Bolroy, you folks in Atlanta listening to or Memphis on KWAM ought to look into that. All right, we got to take a break here. Wow, we've got our good friend James Rosen from Newsmax coming up. Also, Mike Huckabee is going to be here. We have some more intel on Hunter Biden. Your calls, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Now is your chance to enter to win one of six signed photos of President Trump. These were hand-signed by the president, and soon one could be hanging in your house. When President Trump signed these photos, he wanted to make sure all his supporters had the chance to get one. And now is your chance. All you have to do is text PHOTO to 55404 today for your chance to win a beautiful photo of President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump, hand-signed by President Trump himself, by texting PHOTO to 55404 right now. You'll get an exclusive double entry activated by my team for a limited time. Again, text PHOTO to 55404 to have your name entered twice to win a hand-signed Trump photo. You don't want to miss this opportunity, folks. Our contest ends soon, paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah. And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Hour two underway. And just a reminder, we want you to go to the website, check out the live show blog, and we have the contact information for the leaders over at the University of Buffalo. We're just not going to let them get away with abusing conservative kids like that. That's just unacceptable. Hey, coming up later this hour, we have our good friend, Mike Huckabee. He's going to drop by in just a little while. Right now, I want to play some audio. President Biden out on the South Lawn just a few moments ago, and a big ceremony for, are we calling her the notorious KBJ? Is that what the official, I don't know what we're going to be calling it, Supreme Court Justice Jackson. I want you to listen to how President Biden described the confirmation hearings.
I knew it wouldn't be easy, but I knew the person I nominated would be put through a painful and difficult confirmation process. But I have to tell you, what Judge Jackson was put through was well beyond that. There was verbal abuse, the anger, the constant interruptions, the most vile, baseless assertions and accusations. In the face of it all, Judge Jackson showed the incredible character and integrity she possesses.
All right, so that's a flat-out lie. But, folks, this is what we're dealing with when it comes to Joe Biden. They are not dealing in facts. They're not dealing in reality. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always honored to have with us Newsmax's chief White House correspondent, our good friend James Rosen, who is at the White House. James, hope you're doing well today.
I am. That was an awfully, I got to say, Todd, an awfully pungent introduction to him.
That was a pungent thing that Joe Biden just said. I mean, again,
what was the lie? What do we identify as the lie?
Exactly. That's the question I have. Who lied and what did they lie about?
Well, you just said that we heard a lie. This is what we're dealing with. And I want to know what we're talking about as we introduce our segment.
Well, let's go back and play the audio again so we can hear that. Go ahead, okay. Kyle.
I knew it wouldn't be easy, but I knew the person I nominated would be put through a painful and difficult confirmation process. But I have to tell you, what Judge Jackson was put through was well beyond that. There was verbal abuse, the anger, the constant interruptions, the most vile, baseless assertions and accusations. In the face of it all, Judge Jackson showed the incredible character.
Stop. So, James, here are the lies. Again, we just got this audio. But the lies, where was the verbal abuse? where was the anger? I didn't see any anger. The constant interruptions, that happens with just about every nominee up on Capitol Hill. And again, what about the most vile, baseless assertions and accusations?
I think from the president's point of view, Todd, when he made, for example, that last suggestion about violent, baseless insinuations or what have you, he has in mind the suggestion that somehow in her career as a public defender and what have you, that Justice Designate Jackson somehow was partial toward those accused of heinous crimes, or somehow was soft on the subject of pedophilia or what have you. The point is, I think that the president's comments in this case fall into the category of fairly conventional presidential rhetoric. It's possible for two different sets of eyes to view the same interactions, let's say, in a congressional confirmation hearing, and for one side to see constant interruption, for the other side to see a fairly conventional hearing, for one side to see verbal abuse, and for others to see the standard give and take. I think we ought to reserve generally the appellation of lies or the designation of lies for matters that are more grounded in less subjective appraisals of events. I will say, though, Todd, that there was one statement made by President Biden on the South Lawn during this ceremony just now that leapt out at me as perhaps indicative of how he really sees Supreme Court nominations and the role of judges in American society. The president said, and I quote, "We all witnessed a truly historic moment presided over by the vice president." He said, "There are moments when people go back in history and they're literally historic, consequential." And then he said these words, "Fundamental shifts in American policy." Now, the nomination of any judge or Supreme Court justice is not a matter of policy, and it's not supposed to advance any particular policy. It is supposed to facilitate the administration of law and the rulings at the highest court in the land on whether given policies are constitutional or not. And we expect that Supreme Court justices will make those rulings independently of the sentiments or the policies necessarily of the presidents who put them there. We know better than that as sentient adults, going back to, for example, to Lyndon Johnson and Abe Fortas, and Richard Nixon and Warren Berger, and beyond. There are, of course, affinities between presidents and the justices they appoint that extend beyond personal to ideological. But nonetheless, a rah-rah event like this, literally embracing the president after the confirmation process has played out, strikes me as somewhat unusual. And to hear the president suggest that this moment represents a fundamental shift in American policy strikes me as a misunderstanding of what the courts and the role of judges really are in our society.
James, I'm curious to get your take on President Obama's visit to the White House earlier this week. The Republicans were making a lot of hay about the what they were saying was that Biden was sort of left out in the cold, that Obama ignored him as he was meeting and greeting the crowd. You were at the White House. What was that like, that experience?
I think too much can be made of that. We know that the president and the former president enjoyed lunch together, as they used to do weekly when Mr. Obama was president and Mr. Biden was vice president. So they did have a chance to visit with each other at some length. Of course, the Obamacare event here in the White House on Tuesday is attracting serious scrutiny for an altogether different reason, Todd, and that is that the president was maskless in that setting, surrounded by folks. We have an indelible image now that is circulating online of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi leaning in to give the president, this is just on Tuesday, a friendly peck on the cheek. That was about 48 hours before the speaker's office disclosed that she has tested positive for COVID. And now the White House is left citing CDC guidelines, Todd, to argue that despite being kissed on the cheek by the House Speaker, the president did not come into close contact with her as defined by the CDC. But nonetheless, it's an uncomfortable moment, and it suggests, as we head into this midterm election cycle, that for all the success of the Ketanji Brown Jackson nomination, we still have a pandemic that is not quite brought to heel, from which we are not quite independent. as President Biden proclaimed in July of 2021.
And we just have to hope and pray that, you know, that Pelosi did not, you know, give Biden the coronavirus or quite frankly, Biden giving it to the new Supreme Court justice. I mean, because nobody was socially distanced.
The White House press secretary says that the president has tested negative. But nonetheless, these are issues of concern, and particularly with respect to messaging. When we saw similar events for Amy Coney Barrett or the gathering on the South Lawn for the Republican National Convention of 2020 that renominated Mr. Trump, we saw terrific, tremendous criticism from the Democrats. And of course, you know, we are in a different place with the pandemic. There are a number of vaccines available that were not at those times. But nonetheless, the White House is feeling the heat on this issue. And of course, along with inflation, it's going to be a critical one as these midterm elections heat up.
James, real quick here. I know you have a busy day. Any word on the White House reaction to the Texas governor and now Florida's governor threatening to send the illegals on buses to Washington, D.C.?
The White House has said of Governor Abbott's announcement that it represents simply a political stunt and that there's no basis in law for it. But beyond that, we'll see if it comes to pass. There have been similar threats in the past. It's one more manifestation of how immigration as an issue, Todd, and you know this from watching it and tracking it closely for a long time, endures without any seeming solution at the border and without any seeming political consensus here in Washington to grapple with it.
Yeah, well said, and we're going to have to leave it there. James, appreciate your insight, and we will see you tonight on Newsmax.
Thank you so much, Todd, as always.
All right, James Rosen, everybody, there at the White House. I don't know. I mean, if you go back and listen to what he said, and we all heard what Biden said, you know, a lot of these folks in Washington, they like to say, well, he misspoke. It was... that was just misconstrued. No, I don't think so. I think the guy lied. I think Joe Biden lied to the American people. He wants the American people to believe that the Senate Republicans tried to pull a political lynch job on the woman that he picked for the Supreme Court. That's what he's all riled up about, and it's a flat out lie. Now, I want to go back and say one thing before we go to break here, and we're going to get to Connor in Boston when we come back. There was a lot of controversy over the questioning around the issue of what is a woman. Now, that issue is vitally important. We are in the middle of a raging culture war right now, and that is the debate of the hour. Now, for most of human history, we have believed that God created male and female. For most of history, all of history, that's how it's been up until the past few years. And now mankind has decided, well, we're gonna rewrite all of that. And we're going to come up with something else. We're going to come up with new definitions. We're going to come up with new genders. And what Facebook has, what, 50, 60, 70? It's dozens of potential genders you can be. This will end up at the Supreme Court. And so the question, that's why that question was so vitally important. And if the Supreme Court justice cannot tell you matter-of-factly, and she said she couldn't because she's not a biologist, if she can't tell you what a woman is, what a man is, does she really belong on the Supreme Court? That was the issue at hand. Not to mention the clear evidence that she was soft on kiddie porn criminals. And that is sick. But again, she was not selected for the Supreme Court based on her judicial philosophy. She was selected because of her skin color and her gender, which is ironic because she can't really tell you what a woman is. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, Mitt Romney's niece, that's Ronna McDaniel. She heads up the RNC. She's very upset at the president. And Ronna McDaniel says that the Republicans will hold Democrats accountable this December for supporting President Joe Biden's Supreme Court pick. Quote, Ketanji Brown Jackson is a radical activist judge, one who failed to answer simple questions on our record, including leniency for child porn offenders and support of CRT. This is a statement that McDaniel released late yesterday. Well, look, I applaud the RNC for wanting to hold the Democrats accountable, but as our great managing editor, Caleb Park, just shared with me via text, what about the Republicans who supported Jackson? What about Mitt Romney? Ronna going to hold Uncle Mitt, Uncle Willard accountable? Is she going to hold Susan Collins of Maine accountable? What about Lisa Murkowski? She going to hold her accountable? They're just as guilty as the Democrats here. Something tells me they will not. 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. Let's go to the phones. Boston, Connor on the line. Hey, Connor, what's going on?
Hey, my friend Todd. It's great to be with you, and it's great to be listening to this great station on the Mighty 990 app. I love this app. It's so great.
Thank you. Thank you.
But, Todd, I'm going to tell you, when it comes down to the judicial system, when it comes to the Supreme Court, when it comes to this now newly confirmed nominee, we do have to remember the president's well within his rights to appoint to nominate this person. It comes down to the people who are on the Supreme Court right now, who are in Congress, who are in the Senate right now that confirmed her. Mitt Romney, Susan Collins, I mean, the usual suspects. You know, it's like those are the people that need to be held accountable here. When it comes to her opinion on child pornography, to leniency on those types of folks, I mean, that's unacceptable. I mean, that's something that we should not allow in our judicial system, let alone a Supreme Court justice. When it comes to her viewpoints on what is a woman, what is gender, you know, it's like I feel like every single person has the ability to make that choice who is over the legal age, you know. It's like somebody who is an adult can make an informed decision should be able to make that choice, whether it's a good choice or not, still their choice as an American. But a child or somebody like that should not have that ability. It should be something that only a fully able adult should be able to make. And the judicial system in this country should be able to understand that. And if it doesn't, we have a serious problem here.
Well, you would think so, but, you know, we're living in a country where district attorney's offices are under attack from George Soros. In New York City, for example, Connor, you basically have to kill someone to be held without bail.
Well, what happens in New York also happens in Boston. It seems like Boston, New York, Washington, D.C., it's like they all kind of work together on a lot of these issues, but it's almost like the Cold War for America edition. It's like these far left radicals, it's like they want to be able to take over this country without firing a single shot. They want to look like it's like, you know, it's all innocent. It's, you know, for the good of the country. It's for the children. But in reality, they have ill intent. And we just need to be vigilant and we need to be mindful and not elect these folks into office when they try to sell us a bill of goods come election year.
It's a great point, Connor. You're spot on. Connor, got to run. We're coming up on a break and appreciate you as always. The Lone Conservative, a missionary to Harvard, Connor from Boston. By the way, you folks planning to go to the Ohio rally for President Trump, heads up, Portage County says they will not allow President Trump to use the fairgrounds. A volunteer board runs the property. This is according to Newsmax. One of the Portage County commissioners says that they don't allow political events. So they have decided to reject the president, the former president of these great United States. A lot of people up there are pretty upset about that. They say it's just appalling. Yep, there you go. We'll let you know if there's another location. Hey, you know, Easter's right around the corner, and Mike Lindell, we were chatting last night online, by the way. Mike's just a great guy, down-to-earth fella, and he loves our listeners, I'll tell you that much. Mike has a great Easter sale going on. In some categories, up to 60% in sales. The MyPillows as low as $19.98. It doesn't matter what you buy. If you use my promo code STARNS, you're going to get a free gift, a copy of Mike's incredible memoir, MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS. incredible discounts on every single product, and you're going to get this awesome book from Mike Lindell free of charge. MyPillow.com/starns. 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. Governor Mike Huckabee coming up next. All right, I am just incredibly confused here. Maybe you folks can help me out. So MSDNC is in a bit of a controversy right now. And I want you to see if you can follow this. And we're going to bring our good friend Governor Mike Huckabee in just a moment. And maybe he can figure this out. He's a brilliant mind. So here is the story from TonSterns.com. A they-them journalist who identifies as trans... wait a second. So can you identify as they and them and trans? That's where I'm confused. Anyway, a they-them journalist who identifies as trans got upset when MSDNC got upset with MSDNC after being misgendered during a segment on online harassment against women journalists. Kate Sosin, a 19th News LGBT reporter, publicly complained for being identified as a female. Quote, I really did not want to get into this, but I don't know what to do. It's been 5 days since MSDNC published this piece on gender-based harassed facing journalists and misgendered me. They won't fix it. I have asked. And so you can't make this up. So MSDNC and has responded and they're very remorseful. So they said that they inadvertently misgendered Kate. There you go. Wow. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, Governor Mike Huckabee, joins us. Governor, I just don't understand.
Well, Todd, you and I, we're just not woke enough. I mean, we kind of grew up in the time when boys were boys and girls were girls, and we knew the difference, and we kind of liked the difference. And now we're not supposed to know the difference, and if we do know the difference, we're supposed to keep shut up about it. So it's very confusing. But I'm going to just stick with the old biblical model, male and female, he created them, and kind of figure out that maybe that's where we should stay.
It seems like a pretty straightforward approach. I'm with you on that. Meanwhile, Governor, you've got Bob Chapek, who is the chief executive officer over at Disney, and he is now pledging. I mean, they are going to become fierce allies with the LGBT movement. And I guess ultimately this is up to moms and dads. You know, they have to make a decision. Do they want their kids to be, to be exposed to this kind of stuff?
Well, the tragedy is that for most of our lives, the Disney brand was trustworthy. And it was the one place where a parent could say, okay, you can watch that movie. It's a Disney movie. It'll be okay. It's not like that anymore. And it used to be that you could take your kids to Disney World or Disneyland because it was the happiest place on earth. They're determined to make it the gayest place on earth. And look, I don't care if someone wants to be gay. That's their business. It's none of mine. But when you try to create this atmosphere, and you're more interested in pushing an agenda for cartoon characters. Todd, help me out here. But does anybody, I don't care whether they're heterosexual or homosexual, do they really care about the sexual identity or the sexual proclivities of a cartoon character? What am I missing?
It's a fair question, Governor, and it's one that, I mean, I remember as a kid, you just never really thought about things in that light. Now you have Pete Buttigieg, the transportation secretary, just weighed in. He was on The View, and he says Pete Buttigieg agrees that Florida's anti-grooming law will kill kids.
The law will kill kids. I'm not sure how that's going to happen because the law only says that children 4 or 5 years old up to age 8 cannot be given instruction in sexual behavior. Now, I'm kind of encouraged that there are a number of LGBTQ people, activists, who have come out and said, look, there's nothing in the Florida law that is really offensive, because even as gay people, we don't want sexual content taught to kids that age. And interestingly, Todd, a majority, a pretty significant majority of Democrats in Florida support that bill. I don't know why anybody who is a parent or a grandparent or just somebody, maybe they don't have any kids, but they have common sense and they say, you know, there's some things that maybe it's not great for kids to be able to talk about when they're 4 and 5 years old. After all, is it really necessary that they learn about transgenderism before they can even identify what color the crayon is? Are the numbers up to 10? Are a few letters of the alphabet? Aren't some of those things really more important for a preschooler than to say, hey, Mom, I know what LGBTQIA all means. I'm just not convinced that anybody in his or her right mind really believe that that's the priority for education for 4 and 5 year old kids.
Where do you draw the line on all of this? I mean, it keeps getting moved, and I hear what you say, and you're right. There are groups like Log Cabin Republicans out there, and they're defending Governor DeSantis. But the other side will come back and say to the Log Cabin Republican, well, who are you to say that my lifestyle is wrong? Where do you draw that line?
It's not even about saying the lifestyle is wrong. It's about whether or not you should teach about that lifestyle to a kid who's 4 or 5 years old. Now, here's the point. There's nothing in that law that says don't say gay. So the liars, the absolute outright liars, are the people who are using this to drive a wedge. Here's what ought to happen, in my view. Parents, grandparents, and consumers of entertainment should rise up and say, Disney, if this is the direction you're going, then to put it in the famous vernacular of getting fired, we're going to go a different direction. And what we need to do is to quit acting like this is okay. It is not okay. Stand up, speak up, push back, and say we're done. We'll find entertainment for our children in other venues. And when they lose enough money and lose enough employees, because a lot of the Disney employees are upset about this, they're sensible enough to realize how dumb this is, then maybe these corporations will decide that their job is not to try to please the extremely small minority of the lunatic left. Their job is to entertain children and families. Stick to your job. You know, I'm not trying to fly the SpaceX spacecraft today for a simple reason. I don't know anything about it, so I'm not going to try. So why is it that Disney is trying to instruct mothers and fathers in what their children ought to be learning when they're 4 and 5 years old at their public government-funded schools? That's what the issue is about. Let's not let the left create an issue that doesn't even exist. Keep the issue where it is, and the issue is should government taxpayer-funded schools be telling 4 and 5 year old kids anything about the mechanics of sexuality or the identity of sexuality and gender? Shouldn't that be left to moms and dads and let the teachers in the schools help the kids separate the difference between what colors, what numbers, and what letters in the alphabet and start preparing them to learn how to read?
And I think the way you just described that, Governor, is brilliant, because, again, people want to try to make this about, you know, LGBT, and it's really not, because you're also teaching heterosexual sex. So this is overarching.
Yeah, I don't think we need to be teaching 4 and 5 year olds the difference between the cowboy position and the missionary position. I mean, I just don't think that that's where 4 and 5 year olds need to be instructed. So this is not about a particular lifestyle. This is simply about the greater issue of whether sexuality and the teaching of it belongs in the mind of a 4 or 5 year old, and whether Disney really does want to create, as their executive said on video, where that at least half of all their cartoon characters are LGBTQIA or racial minority. And I'm thinking, really? Is that what's important to a child being entertained? I really don't think so.
You'll appreciate this, Governor. There was a quite a stir in the control room a few seconds ago, and Grace Baker asked, should we have censored him? Should we have used the dump button on the governor?
Probably so. But, you know, you'll get a lot of calls. I'm sure the whole the whole segment will go viral.
Wow.
And be vilified. But I challenge anybody to tell me that a 4 and 5 year old kid ought to be given instruction, whether homosexual or heterosexual sexuality, whether that ought to take priority over basic fundamentals of education to prepare a 4 or 5 year old to learn how to read.
That's the argument right there. That is the argument. Governor, real quick, what's coming up on the show this weekend?
Well, Todd, this is the 50th anniversary this year of Expo 72, a life-changing event for me and many other people who came through the Jesus movement in the late 60s and 70s. And the originator of that, Paul Eshelman, who was with Campus Crusade for Christ, will be here to talk about the big plans in Dallas on the 50th anniversary that will happen in the Cotton Bowl in June of this year. They're going to be here to talk about that. Plus, we've got the Vogues, who will do their song, 5 o'clock song that you remember from Drew Carey show. You know, it's a great, great song, and the Vogues are going to be here doing that and Turn Around, Look at Me. We've got comedians and a lot of fun. Don't miss our show this weekend.
It's going to be a lot of fun, folks. We have links to all the governor's pages over in our live show blog. Governor, always appreciate having you on the show.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
All right. Governor Mike Huckabee, everybody. But, you know, it's brilliant how he framed that. And we've got to get away from just, again, how you want to live your life that's your business under the United States Constitution. That is codified in the law. The issue here is, should we be teaching small children about sex, whether you are gay or straight? And moving forward, I think that's how we are going to frame the argument. It's just straight or just sex. Should we be teaching children about sex? All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Richard, listening to us on our flagship station in Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM. Richard, what say you?
Hello, Todd. That was a great conversation you just had with the governor. And before I get into the main point, I'd just like to thank you for playing the national anthem at noon. And that Briarcrest Choir, try to say that 3 times fast, does one heck of a job on it. And I like the way they build with it from the opening to the closing. And they've got a couple of nice New York show tune touches in there, too.
Well, let's tell the rest of the rest of the audience that maybe they're not here in Memphis. We'll just kind of explain that every day at noon on KWAM, instead of playing the national news, we play the national anthem. There's a great Christian school here. They have an incredible music program called Briarcrest Christian School. And we asked their a cappella group to record a rendition of the national anthem, which they were so gracious to do. And that's what we do. And we invite every person in the city to stand, stop what they're doing, and just honor the flag and honor our brave fighting men and women. So, Richard, I'm so glad to hear that.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you do that.
Thank you.
On to the main point which the governor was addressing, we need to remember that this isn't just about trans this, trans that, and all the other stuff. We are, and I hate to say this because it's going to sound overly dramatic. It's not meant to be. It's just an acknowledgement of reality. We are in a war for our national survival here. And one of the weapons that are used in war are words. And that's my point here, because we're being told now that, oh, well, it's all about what gender you are. No, you are a human being. You were born of a woman. You are either a man or a woman. You have a sex. You do not have a gender. Gender is reserved for objects in foreign languages. Sex is reserved for humans. You're a male or a female. And to that point, and following on with the latest appointee to the Supremes, if that woman couldn't answer the question about how to define a woman, then she should recuse herself from any future cases involving the question of biology, since she admitted she's not a biologist. So how can she comment on women's rights or anything to do with women, because she can't define what a woman is.
Title IX cases, Richard. Right. I mean, it's a great point.
She needs to recuse herself. And right. with that, I'm going to say thank you and goodbye and open the phone up to other people.
Richard, God bless you, and thank you for that. By the way, Richard, hope you and all of our listeners join us on April 30th at Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary. We're holding a massive culture engagement summit. Marsha Blackburn, Robert Jeffress, Mark Meadows, Ryan Helfenbein, and yours truly among 30 speakers. All sorts of great workshops on how to engage the culture, $15, and that gets you into all of the sessions, as well as a free Chick-fil-A lunch. That Saturday, April 30th, if you want information, go to our live show blog, or you can go to the website, that's citizensforamericafoundation.com. That's citizensforamericafoundation.com. We'll be right back. All right, let's get right to the phones. Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN, our great radio affiliate there. Let's say hello to Jerry Lynn. Hey, Jerry Lynn, it's been a while. Hope you're doing good.
Hey, my sweet Todd. I just want to start off by telling you I absolutely love you and Grace. You know that.
Yes.
But, Todd, I'm calling because I had called yesterday to Disney, and I want to speak to the CEO. And I told Grace earlier, I got the girl, she sounded fairly young, that I got online was super, super nice. But she told me that the CEO was not taking any phone calls, that they were getting slammed beyond belief with calls. And she told me, Todd, she said, Miss Dearlyn, a lot of us here are not in agreement with this. She said, believe me, people are leaving. They're not going to do it. She said, you know, I said, are you leaving? She said, I am looking right now. She said, but I'll tell you what's going on. She said, what's going on, Jerilyn, is the CEO that is taking over Disney now has a transgender child. She said, and when I tell you child, I mean child. So I'm not going to give out any more info to you on that, but I'm talking small child. And I said, okay. And I said, well, I tell you what, I won't. She's not going to take my call because I got plenty to say to her. I need an address because I'm boxing every Disney movie I've ever purchased, every movie, every Disney character I've ever bought for my kids, and I'm sending it back to you so you can add it to the bowl of Fruit Loops and hand it out to the transgenders down there. How about that? And while we're on the subject, I will never, ever come back to your park again. And she said, I'm hearing it all day long, all day long.
Wow. I'm just impressed you got through to Disney headquarters because they have, you know, it's like press one for this, press two for that.
Oh, yeah.
It's very difficult.
It took me a long time, Todd. It took me a while, but honey, I was determined. Just like that Susan Collins and all the admits. Oh, honey, don't you even. Oh, I've been blowing up their phones, leaving messages.
Love it. Jerry Lynn, you know we're coming up on the news break. It is so good to hear from you. And
I love you, Todd, and I just love y'all, honey, and I'm so grateful for you and Grace and that y'all stand.
Oh, don't
for
forget
the truth.
Kyle, Jerry Lynn. Kyle, our board op.
Oh, yes, all of y'all, Todd. I adore y'all. But you know, Todd, we didn't get to go. We were had plans to go to the Commerce Rally.
Gotta run, but, Jerry Lynn. I am so sorry, but and I wished I could have seen you at that rally. Hey, folks, the kid who confronted Brian Stelter, we got him on the show coming up next. You're gonna want to stick around for this. We'll be right back.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I really don't know how to describe what we're about to play for you, but just a few moments ago, President Biden served up yet another big heaping bowl of word salad. Now, Grace, I just, you know what, we're going to, I've heard the audio, and I just had to make sure I wasn't suffering some sort of a medical condition, and I just didn't understand what the president was saying.
Or that the audio was, like, messing up, you know, like skipping around
or
something.
Maybe it was skipping around, and, you know, like, you know, hello, America, good to see you today. You know, so let's take a listen. This is President Biden at the White House just a few moments ago.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was in the foothills of the Himalayas with Xi Jinping, traveling with him. I guess we traveled 17,000 miles when I was vice president. I don't know that for a fact.
What was the single word that America could be defined as? That's what I want to know. Is it Himalayas? That doesn't scream America. Can I hear that again?
I was in the foot.
It's Friday. I can't handle this today, people. It's been a crazy week. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line in the Liberty University studios. I don't know. Maybe Congressman Guy Reschenthaler understands what the president was. What was the point of that?
God, I have no idea what that man was saying, and I don't think he did either. It's really shocking that we have Joe Biden barely able to finish a sentence, yet no one is talking about the 25th Amendment at all. Remember, President Trump always you might not have agreed with what he was saying, but at least he was able to formulate a sentence and literally talk for hours and hours on the campaign trail. And you had every liberal psychologist saying we need to invoke the 25th Amendment because he's not fit. Then you have Joe Biden not knowing what word to say next, garbling over all these miscommunications. And yet, where's the laugh now saying that we need to invoke the 25th Amendment?
And just a few moments ago, in one of the more lucid moments, we heard the president basically accuse Senate Republicans of being racist. Take a listen to this, Congressman.
I knew it wouldn't be easy, but I knew the person I nominated would be put through a painful and difficult confirmation process. But I have to tell you, what Judge Jackson was put through was well beyond that. There was verbal abuse, the anger, the constant interruptions, the most vile, baseless assertions and accusations. In the face of it all, Judge Jackson showed the incredible character and integrity she possesses.
You know, say what you will, but I don't recall a single Republican trying to filibuster a black judicial nominee, unlike Joe Biden did.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I've got one word for President Joe Biden. That's Kavanaugh. Remember the way Kavanaugh was treated? Baseless accusations, them going back, making him figure out where he was when he was in high school, talking about his high school drinking buddies. They were outside the realm of what's appropriate to ask a Supreme Court justice. This nominee was being asked legitimate questions on policy, and she failed to do it. And there were really big concerns with how she treated individuals that came before her for child pornography, for example, the allegations that she was soft on crime, or she is soft on crime. And then she couldn't even answer what a woman is. Which is quite astounding that she wasn't able to define a woman. Yet because Senate Republicans were asking her questions, Joe Biden feels like he has to describe it in those terms. It's completely inappropriate. And again, especially inappropriate when you do it in context of what Justice Kavanaugh had to go through.
It's pretty pathetic, but not all that surprising. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line here in our beautiful Liberty University studios, Congressman Guy Reschenthaler from the great state of Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth. Congressman, we're also following developments on the border. This is probably the most important story impacting our nation right now. What say you?
Well, without a doubt, because we already have 2 million illegal immigrants that have crossed the border. You're talking 7,000 illegal crossings a day. And now the Biden administration wants to do away with Title 42, which for those of you that don't know, Title 42 says that because we have a public health emergency, Border Patrol can quickly turn folks away at the border. Because they're repealing Title 42, that border crossing number is set to go from 7,000 to 18,000 a day. 7,000 to 18,000 a day. And if you think about it, let's say you just have over 2 million illegal immigrants, that would be roughly proportional to about 3 congressmen in the House of Representatives. So this is a large number of illegal immigrants. And you say what you want about immigration, there's a huge security concern here. We know we're catching people that are on the terrorist most wanted list. We know, or the no-fly list, I should say. We know there's terrorists. We've caught some from Yemen. That has occurred. We know there's Chinese nationals that pay a premium to the Mexican drug cartels across the border. And those Chinese nationals, I highly doubt they're paying $35,000 a head to come here and work in the restaurant industry. They're likely coming here to engage in corporate espionage. But this is a real problem, and the Biden administration has ignored it because inherently they believe in open borders. They do not want a secure border. And Todd, if I can just go back and talk about Title 42 and the irony there. So the Biden administration is trying to get rid of 42, saying that there's no public health emergency anymore, which is crazy because it's the same week they try to push through more COVID relief spending, saying there's a crisis. It's at the same time where they're still saying that kids have to wear masks in school, that if you're on an airplane, you have to wear a mask. So it's quite amazing that the Biden administration is trying to say that there's no COVID health crisis at the southern border, but everywhere in the interior of the United States, we still have a crisis. They can't have it both ways.
No, they can't. And again, I am just so excited that the governor of Texas says that he's going to get 900 buses and he's going to ship all of them to Washington, D.C. I really do hope he follows through on that promise. Well, what say you?
Right. I do too. And look, you can say that that's a gimmick or whatever, but at the end of the day, Governor Abbott is doing something that Biden and the administration is not. He's trying to protect the southern border, and it's in his purview to do. You know, in any other normal government, it would be the federal government protecting the U.S. border. But unfortunately, because this administration has acquiesced to the illegal immigrants and to the coyotes and drug cartels at the southern border, it's now incumbent upon Abbott to take action. So I applaud his effort. But look, Biden could stop the flow of illegal immigration right away if he would just do what Trump was doing, continue to build the wall, have the Remain in Mexico policy, which, by the way, coincides and follows international law, and then also give Border Patrol the resources they need. He could end this tomorrow. He chooses not to.
It's true. All right, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Good stuff as always, and hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, Congressman Guy Reschenthaler out of Pennsylvania, not one to mince words. Even he didn't know what Biden was saying. Can we play that again? Maybe one of our listeners who's into linguistics.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word.
And that word is?
I was in the foothills of the Himalayas with Xi Jinping. Traveling with him, I guess we traveled 17,000 miles when I was vice president. I don't know that for a fact.
What's the word? What is the word, Mr. President?
I was in the foot.
Is that word really define America, though? I don't know. Maybe it does. 844-747-8868. That's our phone number. Let's go to the phones. Oregon, Chuck with us today on KYKN. Hey, Chuck, what's on your mind? All right, we don't have Chuck. So here's what we're going to do. We're just going to go and take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. I got to tell you about our good friends at Patriot Mobile. Man, I love these folks. They do some incredible work for our great nation. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, and they have some incredible plans to fit any budget, no matter how big or how small. And if you're a veteran or a first responder, maybe you need more than one phone line. Look, they're going to give you some great discounts. But here's what you have to do. You've got to use my promo code, Todd, when you reach out to Patriot Mobile. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Or you can give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Patriot, and you're going to be able to get some great discounts. Be sure to use the promo code Todd. All right, welcome back, America. Or in the words of Joe Biden, hi, 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 what up, good to have you with us today. I don't know. It's just, it's a weird day, everybody. It's just a weird day. Hey, by the way, you folks in Wichita, KQAM, great radio station. We will begin broadcasting this program in Wichita on Monday, so we're very excited about that. Also, we're going to be broadcasting in Garden City, Kansas, so two brand-new affiliates as we continue to grow, and we may have some exciting news for you folks along the beloved Redneck Riviera coming up very soon as well. So pay attention, you folks. I'm not going to give a city, but I'll just say Mobile. Just pay attention. We may have some news coming your way very soon. Hey, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. By the way, open line Friday this hour of the program. Let's say hello to Chuck in Oregon, KYKN. Hey, Chuck, good to have you back with us.
Hey, good day, sir. So I think the president was trying to say filibuster.
Oh, is that
might be the word to sum up America, at least. Anyway,
I like that.
Knock, knock.
Oh, geez, Lou. Is this a joke? Is this a knock, knock joke, Chuck?
It is.
All right, here we go. So you say knock, knock, and I say knock, who's there, Chuck?
All right, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden who?
That's what our president asked. Pretty sad when half our country wants to put somebody with dementia to lead our country.
Well, that is true, and that is no joke. Yeah, Chuck, good stuff there. God bless you. Have a good weekend out there in Oregon. Grace Baker, did you permit this? Did you allow this to happen?
Yeah, I'll have people call and say, I want to sing a song, I want to tell a joke. I'm like, well, you have to tell it to me first, and he made me laugh. So it's like, okay, I'm putting you on.
It's not American Idol.
No, it's not American Idol, and it's not America's Got Talent, but it is entertaining.
No, we have very talented listeners.
I mean, my favorite, and I'm going to say it if anybody missed it, my favorite joke a listener's called in with now twice is, did you hear Biden's in the hospital?
No, you see, I'm not going to go there, but I'm going to say no.
Okay. You know why he's in the hospital?
No, why?
Because he couldn't stop Putin.
Thank you. Grace, are you okay? What'd you have for lunch today?
I had sweet and sour chicken and rice.
Oh, that explains it. Hey, we've got to play this audio. I am just so excited about our next segment. So we had a kid who, and we played this yesterday. This is out of the University of Chicago, and they're having a big conference on disinformation, and all the regular left-wing yahoos are a part of this thing. Jonah Goldberg, Brian Stelter, Ann Applebaum. Ann Applebaum was asked a question during yesterday's, or the day before yesterday, she was asked a question about mainstream media coverage. Now, the person asking the question, a guy by the name of Daniel Schmidt, who is the senior editor for Thinker Chicago, which is an independent student newspaper. Let's take a listen to how that went down.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this. Really appreciate it. I'm Daniel Schmidt. I'm a freshman at the University of Chicago. My question is for Ms. Applebaum. So in 2020, you wrote, those who live outside the Fox News bubble do not, of course, need to learn any of the stuff about Hunter Biden, referring to his laptop, of course. A poll later after that found that if voters knew about the content of the laptop, 16% of Joe Biden voters would have acted differently. Now, of course, we know a few weeks ago, the New York Times confirmed that the content is real. Do you think the media acted inappropriately when they instantly dismissed Hunter Biden's laptop as Russian disinformation? And what can we learn from that in ensuring that what we label as disinformation is truly disinformation and not reality?
I mean, my problem with Hunter Biden's laptop is, I think, totally irrelevant. I mean, it's not whether it's disinformation or, I mean, I don't think the Hunter Biden's business relationships have anything to do with who should be president of the United States. So I don't find it to be interesting. I mean, that would be my problem with that as a major news story.
Oh, yes, because the folks at The Atlantic, that's just beneath them to cover those kinds of stories. But what Ann Applebaum did not say was that she spent most of the Trump administration, most of the Trump years, attacking Ivanka Trump. I mean, it was incessant. And you can just Google it and you'll see all the stories she wrote. So that was day before yesterday. Then yesterday, Brian Stelter, the little dwarf king from CNN, the most profane name in news.
Crying Negro Network.
Thanks, Judge Joe Brown. Brian Stelter, the Dwarf King, got called out by a freshman.
Hi, thank you for coming. My name is Christopher Phillips. I'm a first year at the college. My question is for Mr. Stelter. You've all spoken extensively about Fox News being a purveyor of disinformation, but CNN is right up there with them. They pushed the Russian collusion hoax. They pushed the Jussie Smollett hoax. They smeared Justice Kavanaugh as a rapist, and they also smeared Nick Salmon as a white supremacist. And yes, they dismissed the Hunter Biden laptop affair as pure Russian disinformation. With mainstream corporate journalists becoming little more than apologists and cheerleaders for the regime, is it time to finally declare that the canon of journalistic ethics is dead or no longer operative? All the mistakes of the mainstream media and CNN in particular seem to magically all go in one direction. Are we expected to believe that this is all just some sort of random coincidence, or is there something else behind it?
It's too bad. It's time for lunch.
You have 30 seconds.
No, I mean, right. there's a clock that says 30 seconds. But I think my honest answer to you, and I'll come over and talk in more detail after this, is that I think you're describing a different channel than the one that I watch. But I understand that that is a popular right-wing narrative about CNN. I think it's important when we talk about shared reality and democracy, all these networks, all these news outlets have to defend democracy. And when they screw up, admit it. But when Benjamin Hall, the Fox correspondent, was wounded in Ukraine, the news crews at CNN and the New York Times stopped what they were doing, and they tried to help. They tried to help him get out of the country. They tried to find the dead crew members. That's what news outlets do. That's how they actually do work together, to your question about sharing those kinds of connections and trust. We don't talk about it enough, though. We don't share that reality about how that happens. And with regards to the regime, I think you mean the President Biden?
No, he meant the regime.
Last time I spoke with a Biden aide, we yelled at each other. So that's the reality of the news business that people don't see, that people don't hear. They imagine that it's a situation that simply is not. But I think your question, it speaks to the failure of journalism to show our work and show the reality of how our profession operates. We have a lot of work to do, I think.
So can I just say this about Brian Stelter? What a sleazeball. He actually uses the deaths of two Fox journalists and another who was gravely injured. He inserted them in the answer to deflect. What a sleazeball that guy is. So, look, we're going to be talking with Daniel Schmidt, that college student, coming up after the break, 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this. Really appreciate it. I'm Daniel Schmidt. I'm a freshman at the University of Chicago. My question is for Ms. Applebaum. So in 2020, you wrote, "Those who live outside the Fox News bubble do not, of course, need to learn any of the stuff about Hunter Biden," referring to his laptop, of course. A poll later after that found that if voters knew about the content of the laptop, 16% of Joe Biden voters would have acted differently. Now, of course, we know a few weeks ago the New York Times confirmed that the content is real. Do you think the media acted inappropriately when they instantly dismissed Hunter Biden's laptop as Russian disinformation? And what can we learn from that in ensuring that what we label as disinformation is truly disinformation and not reality?
I mean, my problem with Hunter Biden's laptop is I think totally irrelevant. I mean, it's not whether it's disinformation or, I mean, I don't think the Hunter Biden's business relationships have anything to do with who should be president of the United States. So I don't find it to be interesting. I mean, that would be my problem with that as a major news story.
All right. So that was just one snippet of a conversation at the University of Chicago's disinformation conference called the name of the conference, by the way, Disinformation and the Erosion of Democracy. Just a few moments ago, the Chicago Thinker, and by the way, the voice you heard, the individual asking that question, Daniel Schmidt, a senior editor with the Chicago Thinker, which is an independent student newspaper. They've been asking questions that a lot of people are just afraid to ask of the media. And now the Chicago Tribune, or I'm sorry, the now the Atlantic's editor-in-chief is calling the Chicago Thinker's reporting a disinformation campaign. Unbelievable. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and the brave individual who asked that question joins us, Daniel Schmidt, who is a freshman at the University of Chicago. Daniel, what an honor to have you with us today.
Hey, Todd. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be on here.
So I want you to take us through through all of this. You guys attending the conference, we understand another individual question, Brian Stelter. Why were you there, and what's the point of the conference?
Yeah, so just to preface it, we are the Chicago Thinker, which is thechicagothinker.com, is a conservative journal, as you mentioned, on campus. And we heard that our school was hosting this event called Disinformation and the Erosion of Democracy. And they were going to have all these big name speakers like Barack Obama, Amy Klobuchar, Ann Applebaum, and Adam Kinzinger, for example. And we said, you know what, we need media passes at this event. We think we need to cover it because we figured all other media at this event would, of course, be one-sided. Fortunately, we did get media passes, and we didn't want to use that opportunity to waste. So we figured we're going to try to ask every single person we can hard, legitimate questions. And it started off on Wednesday with Ann Applebaum, as you played the tape, in which I asked her a very basic question. Was the media inappropriate and instantly labeling the Hunter Biden laptop as disinformation? She, of course, as you hear, did not answer the question, and that went viral. That video now has over 2.5 million views on Twitter. The day afterward, as you mentioned, my friend Christopher Phillips talked to Brian Stelter, asked him, why is CNN always so one-sided? Is there a coincidence or is there something at play? And in return, Brian Stelter called it a conspiracy theory and basically said my friend was just repeating right-wing talking points. That clip also has nearly 5 million views. And then today, as you mentioned, right when the conference was ending, the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic, and this is just breaking news, this happened maybe 10 minutes ago, Jeffrey Goldberg, went up and said, we are, you know, it's unfortunate that this conference has led to a disinformation campaign on social media. Now, he didn't name us, of course, but who else could he be referencing? So, you know, we find that extremely ridiculous, but we also find it extremely cowardly that he won't even name us. So that is the current state of affairs at the University of Chicago.
What I thought was fascinating was the answer that she gave. I mean, you guys really got under their skin, but you were able to expose in her answer the thinking and the behavior of corporate media. They look down on everybody. They, you know, they're intellectually superior. How dare you ask us these kinds of questions? And these kinds of stories just don't interest us.
Yeah, I mean, the contempt for the average American is real. I mean, look, these elites, what they do is they go to these universities and they figure, you know, these kids, they're not going to ask us any hard questions. We can go in there, we'll get a big check, we can look smart, we can look educated, and then we can call it a day. And so when there's actually students, when there's actually kids asking them tough, you know, focused questions, they're like, wait a second, we didn't sign up for this. And yeah, that's exactly what happened. And in return, we basically get immense condescension, you know, a perfect representation of just the smugness that we've been experiencing from people like this for years. It's ridiculous.
Daniel Schmidt is senior editor of the Chicago Thinker, and he is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. We have links to their website and their social media pages over on our live show blog. Daniel, I thought it was interesting. One of your colleagues asked Brian Stelter a question, and what really got me about Stelter is that he tried to deflect by bringing up the slaughter of the Fox News crew and the injured Fox News reporter, and he never did answer that question. That was pretty sleazy.
Of course. I mean, my colleague, he brought up numerous indices from Nick Sandman to Kavanaugh to Jussie Smollett, just a whole list of fake news stories CNN has perpetuated and really haven't even admitted they've done wrong. And in return, Brian Stelter was like, yeah, but I yelled at a Biden aide. Like, it's ridiculous. I mean, these people are not serious people. You know, it really makes you wonder how did someone as dumb as Brian Stelter get to where he is nowadays? That, I think, is the real question.
That's a fair question, actually. If you find out, let us know. We'll put you back on the show. I'm curious, what's been the response? Has the administration reached out to you, your fellow students there at the University of Chicago?
Well, I think our greatest response is actually, as I mentioned, what happened just 5 minutes ago when the conference was ending. The editor-in-chief of The Atlantic, along with David Axelrod, who was kind of moderating the whole event, they went up and they said, this event, unfortunately, has led to a disinformation campaign on social media. So what they mean by that is by us asking them questions and then literally just posting the videos on our social media, that to them is disinformation. So, if you know, let's just make sure we get this correct. This is a conference on disinformation. We went there, we asked the people their questions, we posted it, and now we are being accused of spreading disinformation. I mean, if this is not a perfect, you know, representation of how our elites, how our media works, I don't know what is. We are just a bunch of college students, and we are being accused by the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic of waging some elaborate disinformation campaign.
Unbelievable. And I will say this, I was most impressed with a photograph you guys posted, the Thinker Gang celebrating the collapse of corporate journalism with some pizza.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think a picture like that is just real. You don't see, you know, people smiling, people happy. Often you hear journalists complaining about how terrible their lives are. I mean, at the end of the day, we're having fun. This is something we all enjoy. We have passion. You know, a lot of us, this isn't even helping our careers. A lot of people on the team want to enter academia or math or finance. This is actually hurting their career, but they're doing it because they have a passion. And I think this is just so remarkable. So a picture like that, that is just innocent and wholesome, I think just kind of represents what we're all about.
All right, where did you guys get the pizza at? That actually looks pretty good.
It's a deep dish place nearby called Giordano's. They don't sponsor us, but there it is. If anyone's in Chicago, check them out.
Okay, what you need to do, tag them. You got to tag them, Daniel, and then you never know. You may get a sponsor or something. Pizza once a week. Who knows?
I don't know if they'll appreciate our viewpoint, but maybe. We'll definitely consider that.
Well, look, I don't think you guys are going to have any problems getting jobs. I own a media company, and we're always looking for full-time writers. So, you know, let's stay in touch. And you guys should be commended. You did a great service to the nation, exposing these guys and gals for what they really are.
So thank you so much. That really means a lot. Thank you, truly.
All right. Daniel Schmidt, ladies and gentlemen, great American journalist and hero. And these guys and gals over at the Chicago Thinker, they should really be commended for what they did, because a lot of adults, professional journalists, would never do what they did. And I want you to hear, this is the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic. And can I just say, what a sleazy... Folks, if you were in a medical emergency and you had to run to a bathroom and there was no toilet paper, I would not want you to wipe your butt with the pages of The Atlantic magazine. It's that filthy of a publication. Let's take a listen to what they just said. This is how they ended the conference.
I think one darkly humorous but inevitable measurement of our success is that our disinformation conference has been the subject of disinformation campaigns on social media already. So, yeah, congratulate yourselves for that. We'll study that at next year's disinformation.
What? The guy's a liar. But, man, did those young conservative journalists get under their skin? And I remember when I first heard the story about a student newspaper editor asking this question, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt it was not the actual student newspaper. It had to have been an independent student newspaper, because they won't allow conservatives, they won't allow free-thinking people to work on the student newspaper staffs. They just won't, unless you're at Liberty University. And then they actually have an incredible journalism program there. 844-747-8868. Are you proud of these guys? I mean, folks, these are the young people that are going to help save America. These are the young people that can turn around those newsrooms. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, so Pete Buttigieg, or Butt Edge, that may be the German pronunciation, the transportation secretary who has a problem filling potholes, Secretary Pete Butt Edge, it was on The View with the gals on The View. No, I'm not. That's too easy. I'm not going to go there. Secretary Pete says that shame on you people in Florida. And he says that you people are going to kill five-year-olds. So let's take a listen.
Your husband, Chasten, is a teacher. And he's been a vocal critic of what's going on in my state of Florida with the so-called don't say gay law now, which he says will kill kids. Do you agree? And, you know, as a politician, because this strikes you as, you know, your husband is a teacher.
Yeah.
You are obviously LGBTQ yourself, and you are now a parent.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about
this? Yeah, he's right. And I think every law ought to be judged for the effect it's going to have on real people in real life. And I get the political reasons why they're doing this. By the way, some of those political reasons is they don't have a plan on anything else, right? I mean, they don't have a plan on dealing with inflation or dealing with gas prices or dealing with the issues of
the day.
We
can't get home insurance in Florida. We're banning all sorts of conversations.
Right, it's easier, right? It's easier politically, but this is going to hurt people.
So Buttigieg says that if teachers are not allowed to talk to the 4 and 5 year olds about sex and sex acts, that the children are going to start killing themselves. Does anybody believe this? Now, again, we're talking about a small minority of radicals, but Buttigieg is one of these people. It's pretty pathetic that this guy is allowed to say what he's allowed to say. But he does. So we have some breaking news here. There was this plot to kidnap the governor of Michigan. And it was quite the scandal at the time. Gretchen Whitmer is the governor. You might remember she was banning people from fishing or planting gardens. I mean, there were some horrible things happening. And so anyway, there were allegations that 4 men were accused of wanting to kidnap the governor. They were going to be using explosives. I mean, it was some sort of an elaborate plot. And the question that a lot of us had at the moment was, okay, how many of these people involved in this plot were actually FBI agents? And we never could get a clear understanding of that. By the way, that's a question a lot of people have been asking about January the 6th. And the government's been very coy about that. The FBI had undercover agents and informants. And the argument from the guys who were arrested was, well, wait a second, we didn't even come up with this idea. This was so it was like these FBI agents went up to Grace Baker and said, hey, let's go kidnap Todd Starnes. And they keep badgering and badgering. And finally, Grace says, yeah, let's do it. Sounds like a good idea.
Sounds like a fun time.
Well, we've got some news to share. 2 of the 4 men were acquitted just mere moments ago of conspiracy to kidnap Governor Whitmer. The jury's verdicts against Daniel Harris and Brandon Caserta were read in federal court in Grand Rapids in the case presided over by Judge Robert Jonker. Jurors said they could not agree on verdicts. So there you go. Let's go to the phones real quick here. Pat in North Carolina, WSIC, wants to weigh in on that. Hey, Pat, what's up?
Hey, I'm on my way to Selma to see the man tomorrow, and our president.
The big Trump rally.
I'm going there, and I'm so happy they found 2 acquitted and a hung jury on the other 2.
Well, I'm telling you, Pat, that this thing smelled the high heavens from day one.
Exactly.
All right, so this is the headline here. So you're not surprised, Pat.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you're right about saying, you know, Grace came up. We're going to kidnap. Grace can come up to me and say, we're going to kidnap Todd. My God. It was like, you know, you have to. Do these people live under a rock? I mean, I understand these people. Now the other one, the other judge said that the defendants in January 6th have the Second Amendment right. They had the right to carry and bear arms. That just came on the TV.
Well, they do think we live under rocks, Pat. They really do.
I couldn't.
So this is.
But I love you, Todd, and you know what? I love Grace, and guess what? I'll call you Monday. This is going to be a great, great rally. You know, but you know who he's going after? Pat McCrory, that liberal. God, I can't say it on your radio. But Pat McCrory has been blasting him. That Pat McCrory, that liberal, he's going to get it.
Well, let me say this, Pat, and you know, your lieutenant governor, who was on this show yesterday, he's going to be speaking at that rally.
I love that man.
He may deliver a bigger barn burner than President Trump does.
Probably will. I love him.
Oh,
my goodness. He's going to be our next governor. He's going to be our next governor. I believe it.
I do believe that. Pat, got to run. You give us a call back Monday and let us know how that rally was. She's going to have a lot of fun at that rally. This is from ABC News out of Detroit. Two of the four men were acquitted. The other two, they were hung juries. So there you go. What does this mean? It means that the chickens are coming home to roost. That's what it means. So we'll keep you updated on that. We'll post some new intel on the website. Folks, again, a big event, April 30th, and I want you to come to this. This is an important gathering of conservatives from all over America right here in Memphis, Tennessee. Tickets are $15, and that includes a free Chick-fil-A lunch, a full day of speeches and workshops. Marsha Blackburn, Pastor Robert Jeffress, Mark Meadows, Senator Jim DeMint, Ryan Helfenbein, and yours truly at the Culture Engagement Summit. CitizensForAmericaFoundation.com is the website. All right, folks, that music means one thing. Time to get out of here and get ready for the weekend. You folks have a great Friday out there across America, and be sure to go to church this weekend.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.